You're listening to Context is King, news and views from the front lines of digital media. This week, what's the difference between LA and NYC? Here are your hosts, Eric Cohen and Ashkan Karbisfrushen.
So you just got back from LA.
Correct.
You were on a business trip, and when we did The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and we published it a couple of weeks ago, in the intro you talk about how you spent so much time in New York as you were building the business. So I wanted to talk about the difference, East Coast, West Coast, New York, LA.
Both great cities, but very different for sure. So one reason I spent so much time in New York wasn't just that it's a 55-minute flight once your wheels up from Montreal. It's
pretty
just
easy.
Because, I mean, building an internet media consumer content company a little bit closer, despite being a content business, which is California, it's a bit closer to New York in terms of you're chasing ad dollars mainly. So that's Madison Avenue. So I think if you go back to the origins of Hollywood, it was basically a lot of outsiders in their own right, and you'll see where I'm going with this, either American Jewish or Canadian Jewish, like Warner, you know, the Warner Brothers, they were a Canadian Jewish family.
Really?
So they, yeah, they were actually from Kitchener, Waterloo, they were from Ontario. So basically, they moved out west to really narrow this quite a bit. They moved out west to run away from Edison's patents, and Edison had a lot of technology that he was just patenting, and they literally felt that, like, let's get away from this guy because we want to be able to do a lot of things that may violate some of Edison's patents.
They wanted to get into the light bulb business?
No, well, it wasn't light bulb, the film, you know, the movie, exactly. So they actually were initially pirates themselves, right? And that's fantastic entrepreneurial stories. Now, the irony is, over the course of decades and decades and decades, the pirates become the establishment, the traditional media companies, those who go after the new pirates. That's
right, exactly.
That's a whole fascinating, like, oh my God, mind blown. When you read through it, when you read the origins of all the media companies, you're like, wow. So these were like the ultimate outsiders, you know, shunned from society, facing prejudice and racism, and on top of that, trying to do things fearful of Big Bad Edison and his patents. So over the course of, like, if you now fast forward 100 years, especially before the internet just destroyed the traditional mode of, you know, rules of engagement, what ended up happening was you have these creatives that are drawn by Hollywood and what Hollywood represents, even though not that many movies are shot in Hollywood anymore. When you see those big lots, whether it's Fox's lot or CBS's lot, they're actually shooting TV shows. But in any case, what you have in Hollywood is you have the creatives. But the creatives themselves are outsiders, and they're dreamers, and they're hoping to get their content produced, but that costs money. So they sell their souls, so to speak, to the studios who own the modes and the means of production. Mm-hmm. Which is great. They got the cameras, they got the lights, they can make your dreams come true, but you got to sell your soul, work on these projects that you may not necessarily be passionate about, but you have this craft and you know how to direct, you know how to write, you know how to do all these things. So you're going to work for us for years. And if you're successful over and over and over again, and you could have one miss, but don't have too many misses, we'll give you a little bit of resources to start doing your own things. That's why, for example, when you think of the story of James Cameron, he was able to spend whatever he wanted on Avatar because of Titanic. But when he was producing Titanic and it was going over budget and over budget, the execs were freaking out, right? Now, what is fundamentally different about LA right now, where there's this kind of sense of malaise, and the reason why I am spending more time there is because there's this willingness and like this, wow, hey, is that the audience was something that the studios never had, right? So if you produce something, you still had to go sell it. You had to go get it out there. You had to go get it out there in theaters. You had to put it out there on linear television. So LA fundamentally has been, the concept of gatekeeper comes from that. You have these silos, right? Mm-hmm. And for us, it's a fantastic time because we have this big audience, we have this, you know, engaged, passionate community. We're producing content, but of a given form and type and style and format. And as we're expanding and doing, you know, semi-scripted things like The Worst Travel Show on Facebook, or the lineup that, you know, we were involved with last year, or getting into scripted, it's a great time because there's kind of this marriage where it's the right timing for that, so to speak.
But you know, there's also a personality type. You know, the New York is kind of tell it like it is, in your face, no bullshit. LA, there's a lot of people saying, great idea, let's do lunch, and then you don't hear from them. So
okay, I do think there's an element of stereotypes. Like when we sat down with Anthony Scaramucci, he's always very vocal about, you know, you can say things about Italians that you wouldn't say about Blacks or Jews or Asians. He's right. You know, he goes, the things, the jokes that come at the expense of Italians. So I think there's a stereotype about both New York, there's a stereotype about LA. I personally think stereotypes, some of them do exist, but both great cities, both great people. But you are right in the sense that ultimately, New York is, I believe, more about drive, ambition, hustle, getting stuff done.
Disruption.
Well, it's not so much a disruption. It is, but it's more about just results. New York, because it's such an expensive city to get to, let alone live and be able to stay, results matter. So long as you don't break the law, it's fine if you're a bull in the bear, bull in a china shop, and you break things. Mm-hmm. Yes, people may, you know, you may ruffle some feathers, but in the end, if you are successful, it's all good. LA is very different. LA is, to me, three things ultimately. It's about creativity, mm-hmm. it's about relationships, and it's a lot about connecting the dots. And yes, in both cities, you need to have integrity and character, and if you burn bridges. But in LA, it is more European in the sense only that, like, it's more, the rules of etiquette need to be respected, right? Like, I'm a CEO, but even when I was like a manager, a VP, whatever, you could contact whoever you want, and there wouldn't, in New York, and it's kind of fine, and they may forward it. Like, I'll give you an example. When I want to discuss a partnership with Condé Nast, I'll email the president, mm-hmm. and then he'll forward it to somebody, and somebody will get back to me. Nobody's offended. If I email Les Moonves at CBS to say, hey, I have a great idea for a partnership, he won't even, well, not him, his assistant won't even print it out or let him have it.
So there's an infrastructure in place to...
It's not just infrastructure. It's kind of like the gatekeeper you're protecting. It's like you got to pay your dues and you got to kind of go through the natural kind of progression that exists in LA. Mm-hmm. So I am kind of making wide generalizations here, but I mean, directionally, it is very true. It's just a very different way to conduct business. It's fascinating. So when you hear about, like, how are the Japanese conduct business? How are Koreans? Even, like, I mean, forget Midwest. When I went and visited Meredith and you know, in Des Moines, yeah, fundamentally a different vibe, you know? But New York and LA, I mean, oh my God, I could go on and on and on, just two different universes.
So where, if you had to choose one of those two cities for us to headquarter in, you know, we're in Montreal, we're happy. I don't think we're moving anytime soon, but if you had to choose between LA and New York, what would be the better home?
I think fundamentally New York, given our DNA and pedigree, makes more sense. We have more employees in New York right now than LA. However, if I were to be very candid, I would say even though our past and present is New York, I think our future is in LA in terms of what it represents. In 2008 and 2009, I talked about this in my third book, 10-Year Overnight Success, my wife and we had one daughter, Roxy, we went down to New York for a year. Like, on and off, we'd come back, but we'd rent, you know, this was before Airbnb, so, you know, renting stuff through Craigslist, very different experience. Yeah. but we spent a lot of time in New York, and I think that made sense, and in some ways we could have stayed, but we wanted to have another child, so we came back. Right now, I mean, if I look at the next year, especially partly because we do have a team in New York, I envision myself spending easily a week per month or every 6 weeks in LA, just because given where we are, it does lend itself naturally. But I think, look, LA is a very different city than it was 10 years ago, same way that New York is a radically different city than it was 10 years ago, just because the internet has changed things.
And do you think that a company such as, you know, an internet company just in general has more of a future in LA?
Well, LA, what happened is, yes, I would say between, when Machinima kind of took off, Alain de Beauvoir, who was the CEO there, did end up starting to invest in a lot of companies. And he kind of helped create, not alone, because even before that, you could argue MySpace and all started to put a lot of these dot-coms on the map. But I mean, right now, if you take a look at LA between Jukin, Maker, you know, there's a very rich and vibrant, you know, community in LA. And I do think that's just going to grow. And I think it's normal because if you take a step back, what is the internet? It's a distribution model. The first layer, you had the geeks and the engineers built the foundation. And then you start to have more of like the pirates and the renegades who start creating content for the platform. And then ultimately, you now are seeing the more kind of established companies starting to take notice.
All right, in 30 seconds or less, wrap this all up. Final context. Give me a tweet. No. You know what? Give me a hashtag for all this.
New York, hashtag results. LA, hashtag relationships.
This was Context is King for the week of April 12th, 2018. Your hosts were Eric Cohen and Ashkan Karbisfrushan. Follow them on Twitter at _EricCohen and at Ashkan, Ashkan. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. For video versions of these discussions, go to youtube.com/mojotalks.